We have our candles ready. Yes, we have these. How many of you have one of these? Did you get one? Yeah. You have iPhones. They have flashlights on them. You have iPhones and candles, and we're going to sing the end of the service. I'd like to speak about happiness tonight for a few minutes. We saw the children on the video, and it's obvious that it's a happy time for children. How about us? Us too, perhaps. And we want to speak about that. So we're going to, why don't we start by, as I get my things going here, why don't we stand for a moment and have a sacred prayer with your neighbor and bless them in faith and pray for them. Say, God bless you. I pray for you. I pray for you in Jesus' name. Have a great year, 2016. Lord, we are in a world where people seek happiness, and we do also. But we sense there is a depth and a reality that evades us, and we still are made for happiness in the sense that you made us to enjoy yourself. And then all that is in this life, use these thoughts and open our hearts and our minds to understand and appreciate and celebrate this happy holiday, this Merry Christmas. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. We will be going to the Gospel of Luke, so we will be referring chapter 1 and verse Luke, and also Luke chapter 2. We'll also refer to Matthew chapter 2 with the three wise men, or rather the wise men. That's a very interesting point. The Bible does not say there were three wise men. What does it say? There were gifts, and they were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we don't know how many wise men. It's plural. Wise men. Were there two or five? We do not know. But the three different gifts are mentioned. But it doesn't mean that they could have given the same, right? So it's not that important. This is... I'd like to read you this piece. Actually, some months ago, we preached a message on it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. How many remember that message? It was a hallmark, in my opinion. It came out amazingly, like is happening, because I honestly believe with all my heart that we are giving the message, or we are drawing the message. We are hungry. We are anointed. We are anointed. And I want to share with you, and I not false humility, I not that I believe, but just in reality, that the Lord does speak to us in the church. And I'm very thankful. And not just here, but to think of 1,000 people worldwide that are full-time serving in greater grace. They are in Africa, they are in India, they are in Europe, they are in many parts of the world. 1,000 full-time laborers, many of them are pastors and preachers of the word. Praise God. Thank you for all your prayer, your support, and we're going into 2016 with a lot of hope and with a definite sense of happiness. I want you to see the verse, Psalm 144, and this is a beautiful psalm about practical blessing. Our sons and daughters sitting with us in verse 12, blessed in our family, our stores are busting and full in verse 13, our oxen are strong, and there's no breaking in or going out. That means they're not breaking through the fences or causing trouble or stampeding anybody, but there is order on the farm. And then verse 14, that there be no complaining in our streets. Complaining in our streets is a good word. And think of a family and how easy that is to happen, but not in this case. Happy is that people, verse 15. Happy is that people. By the way, if you have a family, you don't see each other that often, once a year, why turn the holiday into a shooting match? Why use that day to make your point, drive it home, irritate your family? Why do that? Do it later. Don't ruin the holiday. You know, pick another time. So verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I believe there is a happiness with godly people that is the result of Christ coming into the world. And at the manger, we see different groups of people gathering. I'd like to read this story. An atheist was once addressing a crowd of people in the open air. This was in England. He was trying to persuade them that there was no God and no devil, no heaven, no hell, no resurrection, no judgment, and no life to come. He advised them to throw away their Bibles, not to pay attention to what preachers said. He recommended that they think as he did and be like him. He talked boldly. The crowd listened eagerly. It was the blind leading the blind. Both were falling into the ditch. In the middle of his address, a poor old woman suddenly pushed her way through the crowd to the place where he was standing. She stood before him. She looked him full in the face. "Sir," she said in a loud voice, "are you happy?" The atheist looked scornfully at her, gave her no answer. "Sir," she said, "I asked you to answer my question. Are you happy? You want us to throw away our Bibles. You tell us not to believe what preachers say about Christ. You advise us to think as you do and be like you. Now, before we take your advice, we have a right to know what good we will gain from it. Do your fine new ideas give you a lot of comfort? Do you yourself really feel happy?" The atheist stopped, attempted to answer the old woman's question. He stammered, shuffled, fidgeted. He endeavored to explain the meaning. He tried hard to return to the subject. He said he had not come to preach about happiness, but it was of no use. The old woman stuck to her point. Can't you see that woman? She is stuck right there in front of everybody. She insisted on her question being answered. The crowd took her side. She pressed them hard with her inquiry and would accept no excuse. At last, the atheist was obliged to leave and sneak off in the confusion. His conscience would not let him stay. He dared not say that he was happy. The old woman showed great wisdom in asking the question that she did. The argument she used may seem very simple, but in reality it is one of the most powerful that can be used. It is a weapon that has more effect on some minds than the most elaborate reasoning by some of our great apologists. Whenever a man begins to speak against and despise old Bible Christianity, thrust home at his conscience the old woman's question. Ask him whether his new views make him feel comfortable within himself. Ask him whether he can say with honesty and sincerity that he is happy. Listen to this. The grand test of a man's faith and a religion and his religion is, does it make him happy? This is what I'd like to share tonight. I believe that in the Constitution, or in the Declaration of Independence, as we know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How come everybody looks for it? Because I believe we're made for it. But why is it so elusive? It seems very vague and actually hard to describe. We ask people, what makes you happy? What happiness are you pursuing? What are you really looking for? Then we know that often the answers are very vague. They say things like riches, learning, success, not have to work anymore, pleasures. But actually, I believe, and I think you know and agree with me, that at the manger where Christ was born, that night when God became a man, you see, I have a short list here of four different societies that come together and are there at the manger for a real reason and purpose. And I believe that in the time that we're living today, when we have Christmas celebration, we know that the business world loves it. Don't get rid of Christmas. We make billions of dollars. Don't get rid of Christmas. It motivates people to spend. Yes. But I actually believe there's something spiritual that happens in the atmosphere when we pay attention to God. Even on the radio, as we listen to the little drummer boy and hark the angels sing, and many of the old songs that were written by great poets and great musicians, and it stirs us. Children in schools, like we saw here, you know, excited, and families kind of hoping for the best and wanting something noble, important, gracious to happen. So they gather at the manger. The first society that I want you to see is in Luke chapter 1. Mary goes to Elizabeth to tell her that she is pregnant. It's the society of the family. It's the society of connection. It's the society of fellowship. When Mary saluted Elizabeth, in Elizabeth, John the Baptist, being then, I believe, 6 months mature in the womb, he leaped and moved in the womb of Elizabeth. Zacharias had prophesied and said that his name would be John, and he spoke about him being the forerunner of the Christ. This kind of fellowship brings a deep happiness into our lives. When we have family members that we connect with, not in a biological or only cultural or family way, but in a deeper sense. And of course, God gave us this family, a spiritual family. And that's the group that brings happiness. Some people think happiness is the absence of sorrow, but actually you can be sorrowful and at the same time rejoice because of connection. Listen, I'm going to say something here. Listen to this. I can't reach higher, up on a shelf, just a half an inch above my reach is something valuable there. This is like really where we are. Like, I want it, but I cannot get it. By my natural height and strengths, I cannot get it. So I am satisfied with seeking happinesses and experiences, and we all have them. I had a list here this afternoon as I was writing out the sermon. Graduation from school was a happy event with your friends. The sports games, accomplished goals, accomplished tasks, whether it be in music or work or contests. A wedding may be a happy day. The birth of a child. Moving to a mission field could be a happy day. Being used in the ministry. Or getting some money that would solve some problem. Or buying something valuable or important. But let's say people can gorge themselves with these kind of things also. And then happiness is elusive. Because actually, it's here somewhere. Where is it? Where is the real happiness that I'm looking for? That is why when Elizabeth and Mary and Zacharias, when they were realizing what was happening, it was, no, that cannot be. Mary, you are pregnant. Yes, I am. But I've got to tell you, an angel did it. God did it. An angel told me. Oh, that must have been amazing. But why would it be only for her? Why wouldn't it be for us? That we would say, there is something here in this world that's got to be bigger and beyond. Sure. The second society we can call is here in chapter 2, and this is when the shepherds were abiding in the field. I think they had no clue. The shepherds had no idea. The shepherds have never seen angels before. The shepherds had no idea about the birth of the Messiah. They're just the common guys in Dundalk or Glen Burnie or Pasadena, Mayor of Baltimore. They're just regular guys at the local high school or local college or at the factory. They had no clue. They were not looking for it. They did not know it was coming. And then it happened to them. This is the society of the enlightened. When you understand something. I remember when we were in Bible college in Maine, there were classes that were out of this world. There was a spirit. It was amazing. I remember walking out of the classroom, standing on a porch, looking over the banister, and just saying, where am I? What is happening? I can't believe this. My Bible is pulsating. But Christ is so close, he could almost touch him. God has given us something out of reach that I never in my life before had ever touched or seen. This is what happened to the shepherds. But why would it only be for them? Doesn't God care for us? Why would it only be for them and then the history is over? And there is no, then go pursue your happiness that is so vague and indistinct and so hard to find. And even when you find your graduation day, it is not so great. It could even be on your wedding day. It's not as great as you thought it would be. It might even be when you win a gold medal. Or win the golf tournament, the British Open or something, and you're at the top. You might just say, is this all there is? Or worse? I had this thought. I'm not a movie star person, but I remember Elizabeth Taylor, that the woman that was like iconizing beauty. But then thinking, I don't know how her life went, but just being attached to my importance and my beauty and never wanting to lose it. Another facelift, another attempt, trying to keep, be the beauty queen forever. But it is elusive. It's gone. Where is my happiness? It's here somewhere. This is why Jesus came. That's why. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people who have found a secret. Happy is that people that have gone beyond the natural. Happy is that people that have found in reality the connection, like a family. And then the shepherds, they're enlightened and they go. And they go to Bethlehem and they're bowing down. And that's the first Christmas day, isn't it? There they are. There's the animals. There's mother. There's father. There's Christ. There are the shepherds. And they're thinking, how did I get here? How did this happen? I am so blessed. I am so happy. And may the Christmases in the future be a repetition of the same reality. But not 2,000 years ago, but in our lives today. The third group is in Luke chapter 2. And there are two people in the temple in verse 34. One is Simeon, the old man, who was promised he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And then Anna, a woman who had dedicated her life to prayer and fasting and was fully anticipating. This is the society of the hopeful. These are the people that abide in hope. They are happy people because they have a living hope. They know this will happen. Actually, we have a living hope with the coming of Christ. You know that we sometimes say, I believe Christ is coming in our lifetime. Sometimes we say, I don't think I'm like Ron Swingle, probably Pastor Ron. He's 81 years old. Dan Lightsey, another one, gentleman, elderly, honorable man. And they say, I'm going up in the rapture. The society of the hopeful. That we met a brother today. The doctors gave him between 2 weeks and 2 months to live. And he called, and we went there, Pastor Murillo and myself and Pastor Fred. And we sat with him, and his eyes are bright. He said, I don't fear anything. I am excited. I have a living hope. I am anticipating. And just as an 81-year-old gentleman with a living hope, we had happiness in his home. Happiness in his apartment. We are the society of the hopeful. Okay, maybe that isn't so great, and that isn't so great, and that isn't so great. But if I gather at the manger, there you will find the hopeful people. Well, actually, Anna and Simeon were not at the manger, but they were at the temple. And then the fourth group is in Matthew chapter 2. And these are the wise men. The wise men that traveled a long distance. Do you know why some people are not happy? Because they're not in the society of the wise men, which is the society of adventure and risk. The wise men traveled a long distance. Go and find Christ, to find the Savior. And they did it at great risk and adventure. There has to be a motivation in our heart regarding the issues of life. Like, what will it cost for me to find what is really there? Well, maybe I need some adventure. Why not step out of my comfort zone? Why not decide to do a good deed? Why not live in a measure of faith? Why not take a risk? The way to be really happy, and there's an ebb and flow of happiness, I believe, in life. There's a period it isn't so happy, and then there's a time when it could be very rich. We often use the word joy, and joy is constant. Joy is in the presence of God, and yet we are also made as a temporal creature with the joy, but we also have many experiences in life, and happiness many times just doesn't seem to be there. What should I do for this? A couple tips. Very simply, it's there. Christ came so that my life would have another dimension. That I really would be a happy person. That my religion did it. My religion did it. My faith in Christ did it. Christ did it. Why are you so happy? Why are you free? And here's a couple of things about this that I wanted to share with you. Why are children gathered around the Christmas tree? Why are children gathered around their family? Why do children enjoy the event? Why do the adults gather around with some why? And I think here's a short list. Number one, freedom. Freedom. We're free. There's a freedom in the Holy Spirit, a freedom to make decisions, a freedom to be who you are, a freedom you are loved. Number two, there's peace there and patience. There's freedom at Christmas. There is a peace there, and we talk about peace. We share peace. We actually act in it. Even the unbelievers make an effort at it, and we are thankful for that. But just think about what God is communicating to the world through this holiday and saying, this is really, if you have only understood what I intended for you, what I have for you. And then another thing, there's a sense of responsibility. You care about me, I care about you. You did something good for me, I would like to do something good for you. You are caring about my life, and I'm caring about your life. And then number four, friends are there that understand you and accept you. Friends are there, like Elizabeth and Mary. And then the wise men are there, and the shepherds. I think they became friends that night. I think there was a connection between them that they could not deny. I think when Christ is in the middle and in the present, then there's a happiness that happens that we are surprised about. We are saying, wow. And then number five, there's safety there. Safe to be who you are. Safe not to be hammered. Safe not to be ruled by a tyrant. Safe to be simply loved. Safe to be at peace, safe to say something that could be out of order or out of line, but it's tolerated because there is a nature of God. There is the understanding that God intended us to be safe and to be taught and loved by God. Wow. It's safe because I know there's an abundance of forgiveness for my errors and myself. Wow. Christmas. Amazing. Happiness. This is what people look for. They're looking for something. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for a connection. They're looking for something bigger than ourselves. They're looking for reality. They're looking for God to show up. They don't even know it. And then the next one, there are gifts and giving. And that means there is grace there. Why did you give me this gift? Because I love you. It's a gift. Do I have to pay for, like when we were kids, we'd calculate, I'll give you a $3 gift and you give me Hey, you better not give me a $1 gift. Listen, I've given you $3 gift. You give me a $3, okay, or more. Okay? Gifts and giving. Grace. And then lastly, at the manger, every Christmas time, it's actually coming in a few days, the New Year's. And I think the two holidays go together. When there's a Christmas, there's a new year. When there's a Christmas, there's a future. When you are together in a fellowship, then you have hope. When you have a place where you are heard, understood, forgiven, loved, encouraged, free, secure, safe, then there's a kind of happiness that happens inside. And I think there are some people that are missing out on God's happiness because they're missing out. They are stubborn. They are resisting. They want it their way. And then they pursue those happinesses that kind of elude them, fade away in our illusionary, disappear like in the desert. The mirage is gone. And why aren't I happy? Maybe because God is calling you to the real happiness that comes from following Him. Here's three things that I think it could change our lives, really. And by the way, there was a story about a man who had a depression. He went to the doctor. The doctor said, "Oh, you just need your spirits lifted. You should go hear this guy. His name is Matthews. He's a comedian, and he tells funny stories. He's amazing. Go hear him. He'll make you feel good." And the man answered, said, "Sorry, sir, I am Matthews." There are people that are brilliant talkers, circus clowns, smiling beauty. They had a beauty pageant. There are people that have piles of money and a lot of success. And if you just go beyond it, you find out that it's shallow. Where is it? Oh, I wish we could say it to all the world. It is in that babe that came from heaven, that God came here to bring us joy, goodwill to men. It is there at the birth of Christ, where God says that I did not leave you without a comforter. I came to give you happiness, that you will recognize it. It'll go in your bones. It'll kind of flow through you. And it'll be deep in your heart. And you say, "Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I found the body of Christ." Here's a short list. Here's some tips. Grow in grace. You'll find yourself satisfied. Number two, be more thankful. If you don't have any thanksgiving, you will not find any happiness that means anything. If you don't learn that amazing lesson, we said it on Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving message that Wednesday night. Thanksgiving can change my life. Thanksgiving can result in the Holy Spirit moving in my heart. Thanksgiving can transform my whole attitude. If I could just stop and be thankful and recognize what it is that He has done, I will be a happy person. You'll never find a thankful person who is not also a happy person. You find a thankful person and he himself, he'll be amazed at how easy life is, how beautiful it is when he can turn water into wine. Lastly, do good things. Look for an opportunity. Be an energetic Christian. Be an energetic one as much as you can. I know that there are people that are clinically depressed. I understand that. And please understand me. I'm encouraging everybody in it. I know that there are people that are physically infirm and they are infirmed and sickly. I understand that. But here it is, just finishing up. You know how you can be a happy person? Be an energetic person with faith. Be a thankful person. And mingle with those societies that I mentioned. A society of the family that knows the inside story. That's us. The society of the enlightened, the shepherds that got it and were amazed. I got to tell you. There's a babe born in Bethlehem and he is the Christ. And the angels told us. There is the society of the hopeful and then there is the society of the adventurous and the risk takers. We'll do well. Sir, atheist, sir, are you happy? Can't answer that question. The old lady could probably, elderly lady could have said, oh, why are you talking to us? Why are you lying to us? Why are you telling us this? But how much more we are able to say we have found him and we want to declare him and shout. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Maybe someone listening tonight, you want to get right with God. Maybe you're a believer, but somehow something said, spoke to your heart, just to say in your heart to the Lord, I want to be here. I want to be connected. I work hard. I travel. I work hard. There's a lot going on in my life, but I cannot afford to miss out on the key to my life, my direction in what you have for me. And then if you're here and you're not a believer, would you say to Jesus, I believe in you? Would you say in your heart to him, I believe in you. I need you. I ask you into my life. Would you say to Jesus Christ, I need you. I trust you. Show me. Give me this happiness in my heart. Fill me. Deal with my wounds, my pain, my disappointments, my regrets, my fears, my shame, my guilt. And may this be a great Christmas, way beyond anything, way beyond but the reality of God in my life. Come to Christ tonight and say, Jesus, I need you and I want you into my life. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then walk by faith in him and he is there. Answer, he will answer, ask, knock, and it will be open. Seek. Seek, you will find. It's not far off on the top shelf. It's right there. Do you want it? Do you want it? It's right there. That's there for by faith you have it. By faith, say to Jesus, by faith. And walk in it every day. By faith, Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen.